Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you. And may God bless us as we worship and receive his Holy Supper a little later. I chose this theme, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, probably because, you know, just how stressful things seem to be in our nation and the world today. You know, there's talk about war. There's, you know, people are stressed out. There's Democrats against Republicans and this group against that group and saying things and so and so. I think it's very easy to get wrapped up in that and to think about things from our gut, you know, rather than from our heart. And I think God has given us something that helps us to deal with all this stress and so on. And I think it's joy. And we'll be talking about that. You might be saying, well, what's he talking about? Well, hopefully by the end, you'll have some idea of what joy is, what a gift it is from God himself to us. God gives us many things to enjoy life and to help others. Talents, everybody gets those. You know, math, science, music, athletics, various things like that. For his people, he gives spiritual gifts. The gift of caring for others, for teaching. You know, the list goes on and on, things that God, you have at least one of those, a gift to be used for the good of all, to uplift one another. And then he gives us these character builders, you might say, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're going to focus on joy, but they're called the fruit. They're not fruits. It's called the fruits. It's not like I can pick out patience or goodness and I say, forget the rest of them, you know. I don't need those. It's all a package deal. And the Spirit of God puts that into the lives of his people who believe in Jesus, and they start small. And hopefully they grow. They're planted by the Spirit, but it's up to us to water them and cultivate them. And that happens through all sorts of things, mainly observing other Christians going about their lives. Aha, I learned something about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's all based upon how we are connected to Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. That's the key. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, what? You will bear much fruit. It's like a sign saying, God at work, you know? God at work here. Take a look. God at work. Joy. We need joy today. Matthew Henry, a Christian of some time ago, talked about joy. He said, let me rejoice and be thankful. Listen to this. First, because I was never robbed before, he was rejoicing. Second, because although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Wow, he was not a happy camper. I wouldn't be. You wouldn't be either, I'm sure. But he said, I can rejoice. I can rejoice. Rejoicing is not the same as being happy. Happy. What's the difference between happiness and joy? You may have woken up this morning and felt pretty happy. This is a good day. You didn't know the air conditioning was off in the church. You say, this is going to be all right. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. You know, watch the game, like whatever. And as the day wears on, maybe something will happen that will make you unhappy. And by the time the day ends, you may say, I hope this day is over soon. Happiness, unhappiness is not what we're talking about. It's something different. Hopefully we'll explain that in the next few minutes. In the New Testament, We don't hear too much about being happy. We talk about being joyful. In fact, the word happiness occurs in the Bible only 26 times. The word joyful or joy occurs 330 times, more than 10 times as many. So we're not talking about being happy or unhappy. It's something different. What is joy? Joy is different. It's not about how I feel that creates joy. It's what God has done that I have received. It's God doing it, not me doing it or feeling it. It's God, his gift to me. Joy flows from a relationship to Jesus Christ. And that happens because of his dying and especially his rising, which gives us a brand new future. A prominent theologian was once asked, why do people go to church? He said, they come asking a question. Is it true? Is it really true? Is Jesus Christ really alive? That's really key. I believe he's alive. I hope you do too. Because if you believe that, that is the source of joy. The fruit of the spirit of joy is rooted in knowing and believing that God is for real, Jesus died for real, he rose for real, and he's waiting with welcome arms to hope welcome us home when that time comes. That's where joy comes from. It's not a feeling, it's a knowing that I am his and he is mine. You know, having joy does not mean we're immune from problems. Every person here has experienced pain, grief, sorrow. Anybody hasn't? I have questions about life. I have questions about God. Maybe you do too. I may not find the answers in this life. It's okay. I still have joy. We have to deal with evil every day, evil that people do to us and that, unfortunately, evil we do to people. That's true. But we know that God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. C.S. Lewis said, do not let your joy depend on something you may lose. Let it depend only on Jesus who will never leave you. That kind of joy fills the New Testament. Fills the New Testament. If you read Paul especially, he said from prison, he was going to die. And he said, may you always be joyful in your life in the Lord. In fact, I'm going to say it again so you don't forget it. Rejoice. Rejoice. The Spirit plants that in us. And as we live life, we see other Christians. I know you've seen that in one another here. You've seen that strength in times of trouble and sorrow. It helps us to think differently about things. It helps us to act differently. It helps us to react differently. Not to tear down, as is so prevalent in our society, but instead to build up. There are things that threaten that. That joy, you know, there are things that are kind of trying to pull that out of our life, to forget what's waiting for us because of Jesus Christ. And we concentrate on what somebody says to us. Oh, I hate that person. Or what they didn't say to us. Why didn't they say that to me? And we see that just confirms how bad things are. Why hasn't everything turned out just the way I wanted it to? If it had, I'd be joyful, but it hasn't, so I will not be. Problems come. Maybe you're facing some problems right now. Other people may disappoint you. You may disappoint other people. You maybe have a doctor's appointment coming up, and you're wondering what in the world is going to happen. But there's good news. There's good news. Even though the circumstances may be unhappy, unpleasant, you have reason to be joyful. You may not be happy because of what's going on. You may not feel comfortable about it. But you can always have that joy, that knowing what's going to happen, no matter what. whether you're high up here or down here. And if you feel kind of that joy kind of escaping somehow, you can pray what David did in Psalm 51. He confessed his sins and said, "Give me again the joy that comes from your salvation." We know there's lots of joy in heaven. We get a glimpse of heaven in Luke 15, where, you know, these people find things and they come back, and it says, "The angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents." Well, how can you experience that kind of joy? You say, "I believe." You know, there may be people surrounding you who believe, family members, neighbors, people sitting next to you in the pew, but it becomes personal when you say, "When he rose, he was thinking about me. And he's waiting for me with open arms." Yes, that's true. I believe. You can say that your neighbor believes, your spouse believes, your mother, your father. I believe. It's real. It's real. And I believe it. God, because he loved you, became from heaven to earth to bring good news to your home, not just to your home, to you. The Bible gives us a wonderful example in Mary Magdalene on Easter morning. She was unhappy, and I think she had little joy, if all. She was one of our Lord's first friends. The Bible says Mary Magdalene stood crying outside the tomb. She had come there with the other women to prepare his body, and they couldn't find him. Couldn't find him. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels there dressed in white, and they said, "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, very unhappy, and I do not know where they have put him." She was in despair. Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. She didn't know it was him. Her eyes are cloudy with tears. "Woman, why are you crying?" he said. "Who is it that you're looking for?" She thought that he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Very unhappy. No joy. And then the connection is made, and the joy, and I think happiness too, but the joy is there. Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary." She turned to him, she knew the voice, and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," this means teacher, the joy. See the connection there. That's it, the connection. You know, I owe everything to Jesus. Everything I have, my talents, my family, my future, I owe it to him. You owe everything to Jesus too. Your life, your family, your talents, your spiritual gifts, your future. You know, it's like a book. That's where the joy comes from. You and I are in a chapter somewhere in this huge, gigantic book. There's many chapters before us. We don't know how many chapters are still left, but we have our own chapter. And in there is all the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, it's all there. And we say, "Oh boy, I wonder what's going to happen. I'm in trouble." And the Spirit says to us, "Come, come on, let's take a look at the last chapter." And we look at the last chapter. Wow, wow, it's something else. And there's Jesus, not with holes in his hands, but the glorious Lord of the universe. And everyone is bowing before him. Whether they believe in him or not, they can't help it. They're bowing before him. And he looks at you. and he says your name. And he says, from now on, you're going to be with me forever. And you smile and say, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, what a gift is that? Thank you so much. We've been given a glimpse of the last chapter. We're still living in our own chapter. And depending how old we are, there's been a lot of pages or not. The fabulous thing is, when that day comes, what's going to be in those chapters, all the bad, stupid stuff we did and thought, and all the stuff we should have done, we didn't do, we said, I don't need to do that. It's going to be blank. It's going to be blank. And the few things we did pretty well for him be there. I may not be a whole lot there. Doesn't matter. It's not about us. It's about him. He loved the world. He loved you so much that he came here to give you life. Wow, that's good news. That's rejoicing. A lot of stuff. You may read some crazy stuff in the newspaper, read something on your phone, and say, rejoice, rejoice. St. Paul said, we are often troubled, but not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. This is prison talk. There are many enemies, but we are never without it. Why? Why? Why is that? Well, it's this. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus to life, will raise us up with Jesus and take us together with you into his kingdom. Wow. Rejoice. We're here for a purpose. Martin Luther said we're here to thank, praise, serve, and obey God. Thank, praise, serve, and I think that says it all. And if I'm getting a little off track in life, thank, praise, serve, obey. If you start doing one of those more, you start getting back on track. Thank, praise, serve, and obey. You know, last Sunday was Father's Day, and I think this applies to all of us, whether we have a family or whether we're looking at ourselves in the mirror, is to say things like this. This is what joyful people do. Let's go to church with a smile on our face. Not, oh no, there's going to be, let's go to church. Let's pray. This is right, this is wrong. I forgive you. Please forgive me. Important, I love you. I love you. And thank you. Thank you. Those are rejoicing words, come from here, don't they? You may feel different about different things, but that's rejoicing because we know what the story is. Let's finish by saying together what St. Paul said to his fellow Christians way back when from prison. Let's read this. Can you join me? May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Show a gentle attitude toward everyone. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Jesus. And so we say to that, amen. May the joy of Jesus, which his Spirit has implanted in you, grow and grow and grow and grow. Amen.